over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, not the performance you were hoping for is certainly the understatement of the year here, as I had spent quite a bit of time recently talking about the importance of this four-game stretch. It started Saturday in Atlanta against the Hawks. I carried over to tonight. You still have two of those games left. Tomorrow night against the Memphis Grizzlies and Friday night against the Toronto Raptors. Now, we still don't know. I think it's safe to assume you won't see Chris Middleton in the game tomorrow. Doc Rivers, before the game, said Damian Lillard may play in the game tomorrow. The groin issue that landed him on the injury report and out for today's game, Doc had said, was something that it appears he suffered. Suffered is maybe even the wrong word. It happened during the game in New Orleans. But look, we've talked quite a bit this season and on this show about the up and down play of this team, and really, we've seen it in the past with this Bucks team, but this year more than any other year that I can recall. When you hear the phrase, plays to the level of their competition, I mean, that is the Milwaukee Bucks this season. How good they've been against the best teams in the league, how not quite as good they have been, to put it mildly, against teams below that. And especially, the Wizards don't apply to this, but especially those teams in the middle, right? That's where the Bucks have seemingly faced the most issues this season. But this, in many ways, felt like a perfect storm of looking ahead to a homestand. It's always difficult. You'll always hear coaches point to two specific types of games in terms of worried about our focus, how we're going to come out, how the team is going to look. The concerns always lie in the final game of a road trip, and especially a lengthy road trip. I know this was just three games. Final game of a road trip, first game of a homestand. Perfect storm in this game of, hey, final game of a road trip for the Bucks, and it's a Wizards team that is very much undermanned. That has been another issue problematic for the Bucks this season. And a perfect storm in the sense of its final game of a long road trip, longish road trip. And tomorrow is the first game of a long homestand for the Bucks, who have a five-game homestand before playing their final two games on the road. I want to hear from you and how you digest this one, as we are 2 weeks away from the playoffs. And I think you're still looking for that sustained level of play that gives you this confidence. I've thrown all the numbers out there. You can point to all the things and the data that suggests, look, here's how the Bucks have stacked up against these teams. And I get it if you're skeptical of that, and especially on the heels of the Bucks losing in the first round of the playoffs last year. When you factor in, hey, outside of the NBA Finals, that championship, I should say, you know, it was the first year under Bud that they reached the conference finals. Then you lost in the bubble in the second round. You won the title, right? Then you lost in the second round to the Celtics. Then you lost in the first round. Part of it is you need your guys, and you need that runway, that consistent runway. But as Doc Rivers said before the game tonight, you know, unfortunately, we're just not going to get it, at least not for a consistent amount of time. Again, Chris is probably not playing tomorrow. I think that's safe to assume. Who knows if Damian Lillard is? It does seem as though if not tomorrow, it'll be Friday that Damian Lillard is back. But these, again, are games where you're going to be playing without all of your pieces. And this isn't the Bucks of the last 5 years, right? Not to say that they've been without change during that stretch. There's been a lot of change this season. And every time you think they get it going, something like this happens. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phones and get the thoughts of Dick in Port Washington. What do you make of this one tonight, Dick?
You know what? You and Steve Novak tries to sell this crapola to us about winning these games. This was a bad loss. Doc, I was stuck in a snowstorm coming from Madison back to Milwaukee, so I listened to all. Normally, I don't listen to the radio show until later. And Doc was saying that, you know, we've got to get time for our big three to play together. And it hasn't been happening, so we're going to figure out some other ways. The big way to figure it out was to win tonight. This is just crazy to lose to this team. They were down to 9 players. We looked like it was a preseason game.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing that has meaning for me now is that maybe we'll fall to the third spot. You know, we need to avoid Miami at all costs. And in the third spot, we're going to know who we're playing from the end of the season on.
Well, what if Miami is sixth?
That's fine. Then you can play them.
Well, you said otherwise, we need to avoid Miami at all costs.
Well, yeah. They're not going to overtake Indiana.
They're a half game back of Indiana.
Right. But, yeah, if you looked at the schedule, all they got to do is play even the rest of the way, and Indiana's got that spot. This is just a horrible loss tonight. I don't see us, from what Doc said tonight, what I understood was we're going to get better if we get the big three to play together. And here's my fear is that once we start the playoffs, they haven't been timed together. We're going to throw passes to the seats. We're not going to know who's going to take the ball out when, who's going to be the big man in the end. To be honest with you, Justin, I want us to get the third spot, and Miami's not going to. They're going to. Their strategy is to play in the playoff tournament. I've been tracking their injured reports for months now. They could give a crap about the regular season. He's setting it all up for the postseason, and we haven't been, mainly because we switched coaches. And, Doc, I really wanted Doc from way back, and you can back me up on that. But I think he's setting up some excuses for why we're going to fail in the tournament. I just see that coming. What was the positive tonight? What was the positive throughout this road trip? I don't get it. You look at their faces. They're not into it. I don't get it. Something's missing.
I don't know
what it is.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, there wasn't a positive tonight. I mean, Giannis had a triple-double. Great. No. You're 5-5 in games this season where Giannis has done that.
Yeah. And you know, I've had this argument with my son who lives in Colorado. Damian Lillard has so many outside pressures on him that if we're going to count on him, it's not going to be this year. It's going to be next year when this has been resolved. All of a sudden, he's got this injury, a groin injury, that didn't show up when he had a personal reason to leave the team.
Well,
and I get it. Family issues are huge. And this guy, I think, as my wife has pointed out to me, he is more concerned, and rightly he should be, about his family and his kids. So I would assume the personal issue he had to go back to Portland for a court hearing.
Yeah.
And now he probably has to stay. And so we got to come up with something. The Bucks, let me point out when I was right one other time, when Lopez all of a sudden wasn't on the bench. I called everyone and I said, he's hurt major league. This is the same thing. This is not an injury. This is a personal reason. They had to give the NBA something else. I get it. And I hope it resolves it all for him and his family. But he is under so much pressure, family-wise, that I'm not so sure, how can I say this? that his main concern is the Bucs. And I agree with him. My wife certainly does. It should not be the Bucs. It should be his family.
I mean, I agree with you that the whole next year thing, and it's not to say you can't find success this year, but it was, you know, for being honest, it was always going to be that way. That maybe not so much the Dame, everything that you were laying out, but just him really clicking with Giannis that everything was going to excel next year. You don't just drop him in when Damian Lillard was, for all intents and purposes, he was Giannis in Portland. You don't drop him into that situation and it's okay, great. They'll figure it out in 10 games. It was always going to drag out throughout the season and take time for that duo to really gel and to form that cohesion. I still think you can get what you need from Damian Lillard to advance in the playoffs, but the discouraging part is, you know, you're running out of time. And
yeah, you're right.
You need to be healthy. That's the big thing. You need to be healthy, but you want a little bit of a runway with that trio playing together and figuring things out in the regular season, moving into the playoffs.
Well, yeah, one of the things I wish, and you can't run back to take, we should have, I mean, and the professor in North Carolina is probably going to call in and accuse me of whatever. But if we would have known that we would have had Damian Lillard.
I know where you're headed.
Yeah, should not have been the choice for coaches. We should have had Doc Rivers or an experienced coach from day one. But all of a sudden, this crap happened, and or not crap, stuff happened, and we're still. It sounds like I'm really attacking you, but you got to back me up on this. When the early calls came in that we should sacrifice him, get rid of him right away, I defended the butt out of him. Then all of a sudden, I realized he was in over his head. If we would have had Doc or a more experienced coach from the beginning, we would be clicking a lot more than we are now. We lost 30-some games to where we won on talent, but we didn't win on gamesmanship, on teamsmanship. You know, we won a lot of those games early
on talent,
just because we had better talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was an easier schedule too. I mean, look, and that's the unfair part because I've already seen a ton of it of, well, the Bucks are 15-14 since Doc Rivers took over. Fine. It's a tough spot to be in, and it's been a very difficult schedule that Doc Rivers took on. You can't compare that to the 43 games that were previously played. So that's the tough part. Yeah. Before you do go, though, Dick, I know you dismissed the Miami Heat moving up to sixth, but here's what the Pacers have left. The Brooklyn Nets on the road. They do have the Thunder. They have a game with the Miami Heat, Raptors at Cavaliers and Hawks. The Miami Heat have the 76ers in a game that's going to be important for seeding to at least ensure home court in that 7-8 matchup, if that's where those teams finish. The Rockets, the Pacers, Hawks, Mavericks, and they close the season with two games against the Raptors. It's just a half game right now that separates those two teams, and they do have one game left against each other. I don't think we can say the Pacers are for sure going to be the sixth seed.
No, but you're right about that. And I think I do agree with Doc. Look, you get in the playoffs, and like you've said numerous times, when we won the championship, we wanted Miami, and I do think that the big thing is that the playoffs are so different than the regular season. And I just got one other quick question for you. I'm so NBA all year long. Brewers second, Packers if they're there. The games last night in the women's tournament were so much better than any game I've seen in the men's tournament and in recent NBA history. I think the NBA and the NCAA better pay attention to what the women's tournament is. Because you got to remember, half of us are female. And those games last night, I've never seen my wife into such a tournament game as those two games last night. And you know, there's something about them. They go 4 years and they still play. And you don't see all this bitching and bickering as, well, that's what my terms were. My wife didn't say that. About any NBA call. And my wife said, like, why is the referee talking while Giannis is shooting to an opposing player? And I said, you know what? You're right. I don't get it. Years ago, that would have been a sideline infraction getting in the... We better pay attention to what the women's college basketball tournament is doing to getting fans interested in basketball.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not just this year. It's not just the last 2 years with Caitlin Clark. We've seen it building and building for the last, you know, decade, basically, in the women's college tournament. Thanks for the call, Dick. Hopefully, we're talking about a new win streak that gets started here for this team, because, look, when you look at the schedule that's left for the Bucks, you know, we kind of joked about it, but Doc Rivers said, we're very good in those revenge games. Tomorrow seems like a double dose of revenge, having lost to the Memphis Grizzlies. Very, very similar setup to what you saw tonight. A game that I think all of us assumed the Bucks would just win because they're the better team. They're the more talented team. Look at all the players. I did this myself. Look at all the players that are out for the Washington Wizards. What's the Wizards' incentive to win, right? They can catch the Detroit Pistons for the worst record in the league and win the draft lottery, or have the best chance to win the draft lottery. Similar story as that first matchup against the Memphis Grizzlies. It was your final game before the road trip, or before the break, all-star break. Nobody was available for the Memphis Grizzlies. And they led by double figures for what felt like more than half of the game, ultimately won a close one. Very, very similar to what you saw tonight. So I think that certainly is top of mind for this team, and especially coming off of this loss in Washington, D.C. But look, the bigger part is this. You don't want to limp into the playoffs. I understand you would like to have all of your guys, but as Doc Rivers pretty candidly put it, look, it's not going to be the case this year. Not that the Bucks aren't going to have their guys, but you're not going to have this 10-game sample size to say, okay, we consistently had every single player on the floor. Who knows what it's going to mean for Pat Beverly, who had an ankle sprain and had to leave the game tonight. So one thing after another just starts to pop up. The Bucks were very fortunate with their health earlier in the season. Has not been the case of late. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So things have started to shift in the Eastern Conference, potentially. I think every Bucks fan certainly going to be interested in what happens in that 6-7-8 spot. Who's going to be in the play-in tournament? Who's going to avoid it? But more importantly, where are the Bucks going to finish? Have the odds updated or shifted at all? We'll take a look at that after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. Bucks Talk.
All right, there's no sugarcoating it. This was not a good loss. I don't know what loss is good, as Doc Rivers had even said before. We're not in the business of moral victories. I think we pointed to that game in Boston where the Bucks did lost by 3 points. They've lost both games on the road in Boston by 3 points each instance. But that was a game that you left saying, look, you lost, but I don't know. I feel pretty good about how the Bucks looked in this. Maybe there's not a such thing as a moral victory, but I feel good after this loss. That is definitely not the case here. I think there's no denying the ceiling of this team and the potential that they have, right? But this just feels like the ultimate low floor, high ceiling team. I'm not suggesting the Bucks are going to lose in the first round of the playoffs, but when you look at stuff like this and you say the fact, everything we just went over moments ago too, that it's going to take time, that you need more consistent minutes of Giannis and Chris Middleton and Damian Lillard on the floor together. All of these guys, right, playing under Doc Rivers. You just need more of those reps. It's going to take time. So it could get sticky in the postseason. But you see the numbers that I've continued to point to in not only the Bucks' record, but the Bucks' performance by the numbers against the top 10 teams in the league by way of net rating. If not the best, it is among the top two or three, right? They have the second best win percentage against those teams. They're in the top five in offense, top 10 in defense. They have been very, very good against the best teams in the league. On the flip side, you have nights like this. You have nights like in Memphis against the Grizzlies. You've seen struggles against other teams. And you can see, look, if you're trying to sell me on how far they can go, I can see it. If you're trying to sell me on, look, anybody can get this team, and especially as we point to, there is no easy path in the Eastern Conference. It is not the early 2000s. It is not everything you've seen up until the last year or so. It is a much different path for all teams. You could get the Heat in the first round. You could get any one of those teams except the Boston Celtics, the Atlanta Hawks, or the Chicago Bulls. Other than that, all the teams we've referenced so far, Cavaliers, Magic, Knicks, Pacers, Heat, 76ers, which I warned you, and it happened. Joel Embiid is back. 24 points tonight, helping lead the 76ers past the Oklahoma City Thunder. That is a very real threat. Any of those teams could be your first-round opponent. And I think that's what gives you the most pause. You have reasons for confidence to say, okay, playoffs, that means the best teams. You're going to be playing those teams. We've seen this team consistently play well in those spots. We've seen this team consistently be inconsistent. So that's the Jekyll and the Hyde and the trouble with not having enough of a sample size to really know and gauge what this team is. Because I know the front of the jersey is the same. A lot of the faces are the same. You still got Giannis. You still got Chris Middleton. You still got Brooke Lopez. Still got Pat Connaughton. Still got Bobby Portis. There's differences in the offense. There's differences in the defense. You have Damian Lillard. You have Malik Beasley. 40% of your starting lineup is new. Bench pieces are new. AJ Green is playing more. Pat Beverly, hopefully, is going to be ready to go, if not tomorrow, Friday, sometime soon. It doesn't cost him time, that ankle issue that we saw tonight. Pat Beverly's a new piece. Oh, by the way, a new coach, a new staff. So there are a lot of pieces that are the same. It is not the same team. That's why this was always going to take time and why it's continuing to take time, but you're running out of time. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And speaking of Doc Rivers, there were some very, very interesting comments that Doc Rivers made in his postgame remarks after the game tonight that I frankly am still not quite sure what to make of. But I do want to re-examine those in just a moment. Let's head back to the phone lines, though. Bob in Menasha, you're up next.
Yeah, just I'm glad you brought that up. My notes are here. I got wild. Doc really threw the organization under the bus tonight. I just quite figure out where he was coming from. You know, Doc's not one to look for excuses. Do you agree with me on that? He just doesn't. You know, he tells it like it is. But he sounds really upset with something as far as the overall anxiety. He said he's the only one that feels bad about losing a game. I don't know if you caught that all toward the end of his comment. That's scary. That's really scary. You know, and you know, Doc does a great job. I think we all agree with that. But I don't think the team totally is really a championship caliber. I really don't. You know, they if they're not hitting threes, they have a tough time scoring sometimes. Do you agree with me? Like tonight, 60% of the starting lineup, did they have a total of 12 points even? I don't think they did. You know, between Beverly, Lopez, and Beasley, they just have a hard time scoring. you know. And, you know, we know they sometimes give up the paint off the dribble kind of stuff, but that's NBA basketball for you. But I was disturbed with Doc's comments and so forth, and I don't think he's looking for excuses. I don't think they're a championship team. They're going to get in the playoffs. I think you and I know that. I just hope they can go go a little further than they have in some other years. And thanks for being so optimistic, and let's stay with it, okay?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Bob. Yeah, hopefully pass the first round further than they did last year. Those comments, again, they were very interesting. And I'm not sure how many of you caught them on the post-game show. The very last question that Doc Rivers had, I believe from Eric Name of The Athletic, just about their overall play on the road, because it's something that Doc Rivers has talked about since he's taken over here. The Bucks are now 18-20 on the road, below 500. You look at other playoff teams, the Knicks are 20-17, so not much better than 500, but a winning record. The Pacers are 20-18. The Heat are 22-16. The Sixers are 500. They play 29 games without Joel Embiid. Celtics are 27-13. They're on another level. Cavs are 21-16. Magic are 17-19, but again, disrespectful, whatever it is. I don't think people are fearing the Orlando Magic going into the postseason. The Bucks have been at that level, 18-20 on the road. For a team that has Giannis and has Damian Lillard and have had those two players, for as much as we've talked about, yeah, you've had some injury issues start to pile up. You haven't had that full team together. You've had Giannis and Damian Lillard for almost all of the season. And you're 18-20 on the road. You know, you don't have to be great on the road. It's very uncommon to be great on the road. I mean, I've mentioned the Celtics record. I mean, that really, Celtics have been very good everywhere. They've lost 16 games this season. The Thunder are 23-15 on the road, a young team that has not been in those spots, that should not be where they are. Right? Who had the Thunder pegged to be number one in the Western Conference this year? They're too young, too inexperienced. It's not their time yet. Maybe they'll be a playoff team, but playoff team for the Thunder, we're thinking like a 5 seed, right? Thunder are the 1 seed. They're 23-15 on the road. The Minnesota Timberwolves, very similar questions. Are they mature enough? Can this team really win? The Timberwolves are 25-13 on the road. The Clippers, with all the questions, and the LOL Clippers, 25-14 on the road. Dallas Mavericks, for all their up-and-down play, they're 23-14 on the road. So the Phoenix Suns, that's the most alarming one, right? All the up-and-down play, the players that have been in and out of the lineup for the Phoenix Suns, they are 21-17 on the road. And then you have the Bucks at 18-20. So there is certainly something there. But I do want to revisit those comments from Doc Rivers because, again, he's talked about this quite a bit since he's taken over. We got to figure out how to be a better team on the road. You don't have to be elite. You don't have to be great in terms of your wins and losses. You got to be better than 500. Just two road games remain for the Bucks this season. So where do they go from here, and what do those comments mean? If you miss the comments, we'll bring them back and get into that discussion after this on Bucks Talk.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is
Blism on the Road. It's something we can fix and we have to fix. He went on a little more after that and said we got to be a better road team, and if we're not, we're doing something wrong. As a coaching staff, we need to figure out what we need to do differently. As a travel staff, not the players, we may need to do something different there too. Everybody seems happy. I think this is what Bob was getting at. Everybody seems happy except for me after a game. We're doing something wrong and we have to figure it out. I don't know who he's referring to. I know he said the travel staff and specified not the players. The travel staff is your public relations team, your media relations team. You'll have digital team members and social media and marketing members, and sometimes you'll have sponsors that make the trip. You have your radio and TV broadcast team, right? It's really ballooned at times to a large travel contingency. I don't know who specifically he's talking about, what he means by we don't bring that professionalism. I'm not going to speculate who specifically or what group Doc Rivers is referring to, but I think it struck a lot of us to hear that look, we don't bring the professionalism that we need to have on the road. And when we just went through their record in road games, it's not good enough, right? For a team that has not aspirations, expectations, championship expectations, that record is not good enough. 18-20 on the road. You cannot be a sub 500 team on the road and expect to go far. Last year, the Bucks were 26-15 on the road. And yeah, I get it. They didn't go far. They lost in the first round of the playoffs. And the Miami Heat, to spit in the face of this argument, were 17-24 on the road. It's just not what you look for. They've been better in those spots. And again, nobody is saying, even last year was very, very good at 26-15 for a road record, 32-9 at home too. I'm not saying you need to be at that level of winning. You just need to be better than 500. You certainly need to be better than below 500. So that to me is the most interesting thing we've heard from Doc Rivers. I'm not going to say since he took over. It is one of the most interesting things we've heard from Doc Rivers since he took over, but that's the most interesting thing we've heard in the last couple of weeks about that approach and the professionalism, that we don't bring the necessary amount of professionalism on the road. And again, you could chalk that up to, well, they're not winning. But the fact that he specified, and this is not just the players I'm referring to. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So those were the comments by Doc Rivers. Again, we don't bring the necessary professionalism on the road. That's something we can fix and we have to fix. We have to be better on the road. And if we're not doing it, we're doing something wrong. This is not the players I'm referring to. I think it turned a lot of heads when we heard those comments. I had texts from a few other people, too, saying, what is Doc Rivers talking about there? That is certainly interesting. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Look, there's no positive spin to put on this one. Giannis had a triple-double. Great. The Bucks are 5-5 in Giannis's triple-doubles this season. That 5-5 for any team that has the level of expectations that this team has. And when you consider if Giannis is recording a triple-double, 35-15 tonight, 35-15-10, like the level of play in a triple-double is elevated from where it typically is. So if Giannis is playing even better, in theory, you should be even better in terms of your record. And for context, the Bucks were 31-3 prior to this season. 31-3 in games where Giannis recorded a triple-double. They are 5-5 this season. We'll take a look at that score in Utah. I don't think the Jazz are doing the Bucks any favors, so it's going to be very interesting going into the final, 10 days of the regular season. Leaving the door open just a crack for the Cavaliers. Can they take advantage? We'll take a look at that after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk. Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Ain't no way they can stop me now. Daddy, because I'm on my way. I can feel my ring coming. It's the blood of a champion. Falling deep inside my veins.
All right, so that game that's taking place right now in Utah, it's gotten closer. But the Cavs are still up double figures on the Jazz, 73-62 midway through the third quarter. I don't think Donovan Mitchell is playing in this game, no. So we have a resident Cavaliers expert on staff. Max, Are the Cavaliers going to catch the Bucks?
Do we want to catch the Bucks? Is the question.
Do you?
As we had a conversation earlier before the show, you know, it's really about avoiding Miami and Philly in the first round for whoever has that 3 seed, that 2 seed, doesn't matter. It's just a matter of getting the right matchup. And I think, like we've talked about many times, you want to face Orlando or Indiana if you're going to face anybody. I don't think they have a brutal schedule. They're still in the middle of a road trip. They have a back-to-back tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't see them catching him, but I don't know if it's going to matter all that much, to be honest.
I mean, look, I think the ideal scenario, especially if the Bucks and the Cavaliers remain close, if Cleveland can shave another game off the margin there, which, again, I mean, we joke about it, but you're also not joking. Is, again, the Bucks have played very, very well in those games against the best teams in the league. They have 2 consecutive games against teams that are in the middle, closer to the bottom 10, and those have been the teams that have given the Bucks the most fits this season. But as it stands right now, the Sixers and Heat are 7-8. I think that's the preference because it keeps them contained there. So in other words, if you finish second, hey, deal with that. Or if you finish one, you may have to deal with that. If we finish third, we know we don't have to worry about that, at least until the second round of the playoffs. So at this point, as we've said, there is no easy path. The easiest path, and look, I fully recognize this is incredibly disrespectful to these teams to say, hey, this is your easiest chance here. But look, I think any of these teams surveyed, yeah, we'd rather get the Magic or we'd rather get the Indiana Pacers. The threat of the Miami Heat, the front of the jersey in what they bring, and certainly you don't need to remind the Bucks of what the Miami Heat bring there in the postseason. Dick pointed out, too, like I think the Heat are tanking for the playoffs. They do, right? I don't know if they're tanking for the play-in tournament, but yeah, I don't think it's a mystery that especially with Jimmy Butler, he's preserving himself for the postseason. Eric Spoelstra is one of the best coach in the league. And again, the danger of the 76ers. We kept saying, Joel Embiid's going to come back, right? He's not going to miss the rest of the season. And I don't care. A few people have pointed out there's no way he's going to be the player that he was before that injury this season. Probably not. You know, you're probably right there. Tonight, first game back after a 2-month absence. So I think that's an important caveat to add. 6 of 14 from the floor. Still not terrible, but not what Joel Embiid was doing previously. However, he did get to the free throw line 12 times. And as we've talked about the challenges that he's going to present, the importance of half-court offense in the postseason. We've mentioned, look, Damian Lillard. I don't know if I'd say the well has gone dry, but the level of times he's gotten that call, the frequency that he's getting to the free throw line, that has really slowed down since we've seen some of these officiating changes, I suppose you would say, take place at the end of January. Joel Embiid's a guy that it's probably not going to slow down for. Tyrese Maxey is coming to his own. Kyle Lowry is a very seasoned and experienced postseason player who's had some big moments against the Bucks. And Nick Nurse is, along with Eric Spoelstra, one of the 2 coaches that have really given the Bucks and specifically Giannis fits defensively, diagramming those defenses. That is why, to me, I have always felt like that is the number one team you should want to avoid if you're the Bucks, not the Miami Heat, not the Indiana Pacers, even before what's transpired, where Tyrese Halliburton doesn't look like he's 100% since the hamstring issue. They traded Buddy Hield to the 76ers, ironically enough. They don't have Benedict Mathurin, who was one of their leading scorers off the bench. He's lost for the season. So it's a much different team now. And, oh, by the way, the Bucks have a different coach. But there's still, I think, the way that a lot of fans felt kind of under the radar about the Miami Heat last year. I don't know, should we be nervous about this? That, to me, that energy I've shifted to the 76ers this year. I'm telling you guys, I would be very nervous about this matchup. And look, here's the other part. We saw Bobby Portis basically close the game tonight. That's another thing. I don't know about tonight, but to keep an eye on and potentially get into on another show this week, especially if that trend continues. It seems as though we've seen more and more of Brooke Lopez off the floor down the stretch and not closing these games. Tonight it was Bobby Portis doing. You know, I think we've said from the start, once you get to the postseason, it's reasonable to expect Giannis to be that guy that's closing as your five, depending on your matchup. Against the 76ers, I don't know if you can do that. That's a pretty big ask to say, okay, Giannis, you got Joel Embiid. Don't foul out of the game. And also the insurance policy, right? As much as we joke about the Milwaukee Bucks employing brothers since 2018, you got Brooke Lopez, and that's basically it. Just as we said, hey, Giannis, defend Joel Embiid, that's a tough ask. It's equally as tough for Bobby Portis. So you've got Brooke Lopez. That's the good. If Brooke Lopez gets into foul trouble, and I get you can say that for any starting center in the league, but that's the challenge that this 76ers team is going to present. So in a perfect world, if the standings were to stay as is, yeah, great. The Cavaliers can catch the Bucks, and I think we're all fine with that. Two games is not insurmountable, but as we've mentioned, as you pointed to as well, Max, it's a tough road trip that the Cavs have. Back-to-back tomorrow in Phoenix against the Suns, and that's a Phoenix team that it's basically in, we got to keep winning to avoid the play-in tournament. Two games in Los Angeles against the Lakers and the Clippers, another back-to-back, and those are two teams as well of Lakers have a chance to move off of that 9-10 line. They want to keep winning. The Clippers could get caught by the Mavericks and the Pelicans, so they're in very important games as well. I think it's three relatively easy games at home after that, but still, it may be too late. Tomorrow night is going to be big for the Bucks because it's a back-to-back, and I think there was a little trepidation in saying, look, I've continued to point to these four games and say, if you win these games, it's going to be a lock. You're going to be the two seed. But you always had that, there is a back-to-back in there. I'm not quite sure who will see when and how the team will look. And it's a road to home back-to-back as well. They got another one next week. That's a home and home back-to-back. But tomorrow's going to be big because you've got to wash that taste out of your mouth after tonight. And especially, look, considering some of the things we heard Doc Rivers say about that road trip and about the Bucks on the road, I'm even more curious to see that game next Friday in Oklahoma City against the Thunder, even if it is a meaningless game for the Bucks at that point. With the Knicks lost tonight, and by the way, the Knicks have now lost three straight games, I think we can write off the Knicks catching the Bucks. Seven games left. That margin is essentially four, given the Bucks owning the head-to-head tiebreaker. So it's going to reach the point of if the Bucks win these next two games and they win on – it's a wrap, right? With that game Sunday against the New York Knicks. But, yeah, I kind of brought this up before and thought, well, I don't know. Are we grasping at straws here? You can't rule out the Orlando Magic either because I know these two teams split their previous two games. The Magic have two games left against the Bucks yet, and they are just three games back in the loss column. So you're going to need to win both of those games. One is home, one is on the road. But if the Magic win those two games, you can't rule out the Orlando Magic catching the Bucks either. So this is why we say everything is in play. It could be any one of those teams. It could be the Cavs in the first round. You could both keep sliding. I don't see that happening, but you could both slide down to 4-5. Could be the Bucks versus the Cavs. It could be the Magic. Again, I don't see that one happening either. could be the Knicks. Maybe. It's very likely going to be the Pacers, the Heat, or the 76ers. We'll take a closer look at that matchup with the Memphis Grizzlies tomorrow night and wrap up the show after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Tomorrow night, the Bucks not erase this or the memory of this game, but at least minimize it. They can take one step towards that with a win against the Memphis Grizzlies. Look, the big thing from here on out in the seven remaining games, it's not even about record. You have to see better play consistently. And I think with that, you need to see everybody available. And that's a challenge because that's not up to Doc Rivers. But you're running out of time to start to build that consistency. Joked that you got two games coming up against inferior teams, let's say. The Memphis Grizzlies and the Toronto Raptors, both teams that are outside of the playoff picture. The Raptors are 23-52. The Memphis Grizzlies are 25-50. These are two teams that are in the bottom 10 in the NBA standings. But tonight you play the team that was second worst, 29th in the NBA standings. Sixth and seventh worst records in the league, respectively, the Raptors and the Grizzlies. So in the span of a week, you had four teams. That stretch that I mentioned to, those four games, all four of those teams are in the bottom 10 in the standings. The Hawks, the Grizzlies, the Raptors, and the Washington Wizards. And in the first two games, you've gone 1-1. It's not even about holding off teams, holding off the Cavaliers, holding off the Knicks. Again, now you got to open up that discussion to the Orlando Magic and to keep one eye open with that team. And by the way, the Cavaliers have blown it open now. It's back up to 23. So Cleveland is going to win that game. And the Cavaliers are going to be two games back of the Bucks now in the standings. Cavaliers are going to have the tiebreaker if you finish tied by way of the divisional record. Again, the schedules would still favor the Bucks. And your magic number is still six with seven games remaining. Combination of your wins and losses by those teams chasing you to lock up that two seed. But as we've continued to mention that the last couple of days, week, and on the show tonight especially, we can point to locking up the two seed. That's all well and good. You don't know what that means yet. We don't know where other teams are going to finish. You don't know if the Miami Heat and Philadelphia 76ers are going to be contained into that play-in tournament. If not, and they start to spread, well, then it's problems for everybody. But you just need that consistency. You need to clean some of these things up. The road numbers, I don't know about alarming, it's eyebrow-raising. And it was especially eyebrow-raising to hear some of those comments from Doc Rivers. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that and look into what's the reference here. Because you got two road games left. Next Friday in Oklahoma City against the Thunder. And then your final game of the season 1 week from Sunday in Orlando against the Magic. And as I mentioned, Magic currently sit at fourth in the Eastern Conference by way of that three-game New York Knicks losing streak. They got two games left against the Bucks. That final game could be very, very important and impactful in the standings for both of these teams. But yeah, it's not as easy as we know this is the team that we'll get if we finish here because of the play-in tournament. And that's what's added not only intrigue to these final month of the regular season, this final month or so of the regular season, it's also added that uncertainty. And we talked about this on the pregame show before the game today. You know, there is a component of it of, is it better to finish third because at least you have a full week to prepare and you know who you're going to draw? You don't go into the week saying, okay, we know in the case of seven, as a two seed, it's going to be one of these two teams. So we can start our film review on these two teams after Tuesday night when the play-in 7-8 games are played. We know who we can eliminate. That's not the spot the Bucks were in last year. When you went into the league week knowing it could be one of these four teams, 7-8 games are played, and you know, okay, we know which one of these teams we can shift our attention to. That game happened. I think we all thought the Miami Heat were going to win and be the seventh seed. They did not. The Atlanta Hawks won. Miami Heat lost. So, you know, all right, we got to put the Miami Heat. Keep them on our list. We can cross off the Hawks. Then you had the Raptors and the Bulls play. The Bulls win. You can cross off the Raptors. And you got to wait until Friday to figure out what's the team that we're going to get. You can avoid all that. You don't have to wait until Friday. It would be Tuesday if you're the two seed, but you can avoid all of it if you're the three seed. So that's, I don't even know about good and bad because, again, any of those teams could finish there. Even the New York Knicks could finish sixth. They're currently just two games in front of the Pacers in the loss column. The Magic could finish sixth, right? So it could be any of those teams. You can't rule out the Bucks. With five games left, it would take a pretty big collapse to get down to six. You can't rule out the Cavs. So that uncertainty is going to remain. I don't think we're going to have any firm idea of where the Bucks are going to be until Friday night. You could potentially get it there. If you win these next two games, you're up to 49 wins. You'd be 49 and 28. Regardless of what the Knicks do, you'd still be three games up in the loss column on the Knicks going into that final matchup with the Knicks on Sunday. Knowing at that point, five games left, you're basically four up in the loss column. You win that game, you've just sealed the Knicks off. So we may have a pretty good idea Friday. I think we're going to have a pretty firm idea on Sunday. We'll know the Bucks are either, they're going to be two or three for sure, probably two, or we saw another repeat of tonight. And maybe you lose to the Knicks, and then it's, hey, man, anything is on the table. It is a very, very fluid situation, as we've talked about the last couple of weeks here in the standings in the Eastern Conference. But tomorrow is when the Bucks are back at it, and I mentioned this on the network portion of our postgame as well. If you have not kept up with it, make note of the tip time. It has changed. It is no longer a 6:30 tip tomorrow. It is a 7 o'clock tip from Fiserv Forum. 7 o'clock tip for the Bucks and the Memphis Grizzlies. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins on these airwaves. And as always, we'll have the postgame reaction on Bucks Talk. Hopefully not the same conversation we are having tonight. We'll talk to you once again tomorrow night on Bucks Talk.